Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Before we start with the message today, just want to update you again on the upcoming Africa mission. We'll be leaving on the 5th of July, flying out of Kansas City, and going to Nairobi for a couple of days and getting rested up there. Then we go out to West Kenya, to Mumias, where the Living Water Orphanage Project is, and we're going to be spending 10 days there at Mumias and working on the orphanage site, planting trees and pouring some concrete. And we're also going to be going to a prison outreach for ministry, as well as holding a conference with our partner church there in Maoni in Kenya. And so we've got a lot scheduled. We've got a lot going on. It's going to be a great time for the team. There'll be a team of five of us, and then we're going to pick up a couple of Africans there in Nairobi and in Mumias. And so it's going to be a great team, and I'm very much looking forward to that time as the day draws near when we get on the plane. And so if you've not contributed to help this mission, this great work of the Lord, if you've not contributed, we invite you to do that. Sit down, write out a check, and let us know that you want to help us. Let us know that you're on board with us, and we appreciate your prayers. We ask you to be an intercessor for the mission, especially for the crusades over in Tanzania. We're going to do a five-day crusade in Dar es Salaam, the big commercial center of Tanzania, 5 to 6 million people living there. And then also I'm going on to Burundi from there for a three-day crusade. And the Burundi crusade will be in Ngozi, out in East Burundi, a couple of hours outside of Bujumbura, the capital city. So we have a lot planned. I'm eventually going to be going over to Rwanda to preach over near Gisenyi on the Congolese border, and then also going back to Kampala this year to preach at a church in Kampala, Uganda. And so we have a lot on the docket, and I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate your support. Again, if you have not supported and you want to, we would invite you to do that. There'll be contact information at the end of this broadcast. But we just want to invite your prayers and your support and get on board with this mission, because God is going to do some great and mighty things through this mission, and He's going to do great and mighty things through your life if you also sow into this mission, because you're also sowing into your own destiny when you do that. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it shall be given, pressed down, shaken together, spilling over, it shall be given into your bosom, and with the measure that you measure out, it shall be measured unto you." And so if you give cheerfully, if you give with liberality, then God is going to return the blessing to you. And not only that, but many people in Africa, as well as here in the United States, who hear the radio broadcast, many people in Africa are going to be blessed by your giving, blessed by your contribution, blessed by your prayers, blessed by the abundance that you share with them. And so this is God's will, and it is a great plan that God has, and we're just being a part of that plan. We're seeing God in action through human agents, through us frail human beings. We're seeing God in action, and it's a very exciting thing. It's a very humbling and exciting thing, and I'm happy to be a part of it. Well, if you have your Bible there, turn it to Romans 12. We're going to look at the gifts given by God, given by the Lord God to the local church. And we have, again, just a quick review. We have three sets of gifts, of spiritual gifts, that are listed in the Bible. The first set is the gifts given by the Holy Spirit, and that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are given by the Holy Spirit at the time of the receiving of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then we also have the office gifts, or the fivefold ministry gifts. Those are the structural gifts that are the pillars of the church. Those are the structural gifts that hold up the framework of the church, the rest of the church, the activities of the church, the body of Christ, are wrapped around these structural office gifts. And those gifts are the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. And we find those in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And then the third set of gifts enumerated in the Bible are in Romans 12, and I consider these to be the gifts given by God to the local church. And so we have one set of gifts given by the Holy Spirit, we have one set of gifts given by Jesus Christ, and we have one set of gifts given by the Lord God Almighty, and they are given to the local church so that the church can function and act as the agent of God here on this earth and minister to the outside world, minister to the lost world, minister to those that need the Word of God, that need help, that need all those things that the church does. That is accomplished through the local church, sending of missionaries, building projects, building houses, building orphanages, building clinics, building hospitals, all these charitable works. All of that is done through the local church. The functioning body of Christ operates through the local church. And I would just insert in this point right here, this point, that if you are not a member of a church, I urge you to get involved in a church. I urge you to go to a church. I know that many people have been hurt by churches. Many people have been hurt by people in churches, and that is always an issue. But I ask you to forgive. Just lay down any bitterness or unforgiveness you have towards a church, towards a pastor, towards people in a church, and join a church. Go and be there so that people can see your face and you can see their face, and you can encourage each other, and you can pray for each other, and you can bless each other by your presence and by the work that you do through the local church. And there's nothing quite like it. Even though I have a radio broadcast and I believe in media broadcasts, radio, television, internet, all the things that can be accomplished through those venues and through those avenues of communication, there's nothing like the local body of Christ. There's nothing like the local church where we can gather together, pray for each other, encourage each other, look each other in the eye and see what's going on with our lives and see what's going on with your life. And so if you are not part of a local church, I would encourage you today to get involved in a church. Go to one that's a good Bible-believing church. There's many right here in this town and other surrounding towns. If you're hearing this broadcast, I'm sure you can find a church. It's not going to be a perfect church. As soon as you walk in or as soon as I walk in, it will cease to be perfect. But even having said that, it is God's will that we be in a local church, support the pastor, support the leadership of the church, and get involved in the projects of the church. And that's what this group of spiritual gifts that God gives the church, that God gives the local body of Christ, that's what this listing of gifts is all about here in Romans 12. Well, we'll take it up starting in chapter 12, verse 1. Here, this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Romans, and he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Okay, well, this is an admonition or an encouragement from Paul, and he's saying, you have nothing better to give than your own self, than your own body. And so if you're holding back from giving to the local body, if you're holding back, I urge you again not to hold back. I urge you to jump in there with both feet. Get involved. If you can play a guitar or play a piano or the drums, get involved in the worship team. If you can sing, get involved in the worship team. If you can lead a Bible study, if you can preach or whatever it is you can do, find your home in the local church, in the local body of Christ, and get involved, get active. Everything that happens in the kingdom of God, just about everything that happens in the kingdom of God, happens through and because of the local church, the local body of Christ. And Jesus is the head of the church. He is the head, and the body is the local gathering, and the local church, that is the body, and it takes many forms all over the world. It takes many different shapes, sizes, big churches, mega churches, little churches, little house churches, but get involved meeting with a group of people in the name of Jesus, because of Jesus, and get started doing something for somebody else other than yourself. And beloved, when you take your focus of your life off of yourself and you start to think about other people and their needs, and you start thinking about the lost and how you can reach them with the hope that lies within you, then that is the secret to your own fulfillment, the secret to your own happiness, the secret to your own purpose, is to help other people and to get the focus of your life off of yourself and get it onto other people. And when you do that, you will find your destiny, you'll find your calling, and it is God's will that each and every person walk in his calling and in his destiny, that you reach out and minister to other people. And just think, if there's 1.5 billion Christians on this earth, or even 1 billion Christians on this earth, and every single one of them brought even just one person to the Lord in the next year, there would be then 2 to 3 million Christians, or excuse me, 2 to 3 billion Christians, and so the body of Christ could multiply exponentially if each person just focused on one person to bring into the kingdom, to bring to know the Lord. Well, your body is all you have to give. God gave you 2 eyes, He gave you 2 hands, 2 feet, He gave you a heart that's beating and lungs to breathe air. I assume all of that stuff is working reasonably well in your life. And so your body, present your body as a living sacrifice. Do we have any examples of this? Yes, our Lord Jesus Christ presented Himself as a living sacrifice. He not only preached the word, He not only gave food to the poor and fed the hungry, but He also hung on the cross for you, my beloved. He hung on the cross for me, and He presented His body as a living sacrifice in every way. He was a living sacrifice. He shed every drop of blood that He had at the cross, at the whipping post, at the base of the cross. His blood saturated the ground, and so He presented Himself as a living sacrifice, and I urge you to do the same, and so that when you come to the end of your life and you meet Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ and He says, "What have you done for me?" you can't just stumble, and you can't just stutter, and you can't just say, "Well, I don't have anything really to show you, Jesus. I don't have anything that I did, that I made any sacrifice in my life, that I went out of my way and got out of my comfort zone, and I didn't do anything that discomforted me in any way." And Jesus is not going to be very happy hearing that report. And so you present your body as a living sacrifice. He gives you the air to breathe. He gives you the water to drink, the food to eat. He puts the clothing upon you, and He provides shelter for you. He brings the sun up every day. And so the least you can do is find some way, some small way, to serve in the body of Christ. Find something to do with your life that expands the kingdom of God. Years ago, I had a prophetess call me right before I was getting ready to go to Africa, and she didn't know I was getting ready to go. I was going to be leaving in a week or two after the phone call, and she said, "Well, the Holy Spirit is prompting me to call you." And I told her, "Well, I'm getting ready to go to Africa," and she says, "Well, that must be the reason why." And then she prophesied over me this prophecy from Hebrews 12, verse 4, "For you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin." And so what she was saying was that you may be going through some trials, you may be going through some tribulation, you may be going through some discomfort, and you may consider it to be a tremendous sacrifice, but she said, this is the scripture from Hebrews 12:4, "You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin." And I had to admit, I really haven't. I come home from Africa. I've been there 7 times now. I come home, and for the most part, I'm in pretty good shape. I'm intact. I haven't shed any blood over there. And praise God, I hope I don't. But if I do, I'll consider it a worthy sacrifice, and I'll give it to the Lord with cheerfulness, that you spared me, or whatever the situation may be. I don't know what God has for me. But I know this, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ hung on the cross for us, and he gave every precious drop of his blood to cover our sin, for our healing, for our salvation, for our deliverance, and for our joy. And so the least we can do is go out of our way just a little bit, just a tiny bit, to minister and to share the gospel, to take the gospel to the nations. That's the very least we can do with what he has given us. Well, the scripture that goes with that, Hebrews 12:4, in 12:3 it says, For consider Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. And so when you start to think about how tired you are, or how discouraged you are, or you start looking at the world and you think, man, everything is crashing, there's no hope for this world, there's no hope for my neighbor, there's no hope for this country, whatever it is that you get discouraged looking at, you think about Jesus hanging on that cross, that he endured such hostility, and he did it for your sake. He did it because of you. 2,000 years later, you know the joy, you know the salvation, you know the deliverance, you know the healing. All of that came because our Lord and Savior hung on the cross for us. And beloved, when you keep everything in perspective in relationship to the suffering that Jesus made on the cross, that Jesus had on the cross, when you keep everything in perspective and look at the cross each and every day, then your little troubles, your little problems, and your little heartache and heartbreak doesn't seem very significant. And I'm not diminishing what you're going through. I'm not diminishing the fact that maybe you've had lots of trials and tribulations in your life, or maybe you're enduring one right now, a great trial or tribulation. But I'm saying this, keep in mind the fact that Jesus Christ died for you, that he hung on the cross and he shed his precious blood, and he endured tremendous hostility and tremendous suffering for your sake and for my sake. And then Romans 12 verse 2 says this, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And so you can have your mind renewed. It doesn't matter if your mind has been polluted with drugs or alcohol or pornography or anything else. You can have your mind renewed by the renewing, by the cleansing of the Word and the cleansing of Jesus Christ's blood over your life. And so you do not be conformed to this world. Beloved, get your eyes off of this world. This world is not your home. Friendship with the world is enmity towards Christ, or friendship with the world makes you an enemy of the kingdom of God. And so get your eyes off this world and start getting kingdom-minded. Start thinking about what God wants to see happen instead of what the devil wants to see happen. Start thinking about what God has for your life and the plans that he has for your life, and get your mind and your eyes off of what the devil has planned for your life. And do not be conformed to this world. If you look up and down the street and look to see what all the people of this world and all your neighbors are doing, and just follow them like sheep without a shepherd, if that's your guidepost, if that's what is marking your path, is just doing what your neighbors do, you're going to be in for a rough ride, you're going to be in for a lot of trouble, and you're going to be in for eventually death and destruction, because that's what the devil wants to do with your life, is steal, kill, and destroy. And so do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" Or who has known the mind of the Lord that you may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." He is a new creation. And so you are a new creation when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and your old way of thinking, your old patterns of behavior, your old paths that you trod and your feet run to evil, all of that can come to an end, and all of that will come to an end when you give your life over and your mind over to the Lord Jesus Christ, because He wants to change your life. He wants to change your behavior. He wants to change your way of thinking, and the battlefield is the mind. And so you renew your mind by studying Scripture. You renew your mind by memorizing Scripture. You renew your mind by spending time in prayer and fasting, and God will renew your mind. It doesn't matter, again, what you've been through, how much pollution you've put into your mind can be renewed by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to go into the gifts here and not spend a lot of time on them, but briefly hit the gifts starting in verse 6. Paul goes on to say, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering, he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." And so there is a listing there of about seven gifts that are given. And I, again, believe these gifts are given to the local church by the Lord God Almighty. And they are given so that the church can become the functioning arm of the Lord God. They become the functioning arm and the way that the church ministers to the outside world, to the unbelieving world, is through these gifts. And so you have gifts here, ministry, well, that can include many things, any way that we can minister to the outside world. And beloved, I believe it's God's will that every single one of us minister in some way to the outside world. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have a message to tell, you have a story, and that is your own life, your testimony. We overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so you have a testimony, you have a story to tell. Get started telling that story through books, through internet, through blogs, through any way that you can do it, message through radio broadcast, TV broadcast. Get started telling your story and the story of Jesus to that lost and dying world. And of course, prophecy is listed here. The prophetic gift is a gift that all believers have. That is the ability to know, because the Holy Spirit is counseling them in the truth in all things. And then he exhorts, verse 8, that is to encourage other people. You should be an encourager of other people. When you are an encourager, people will call you up. You don't have to call people. They'll call you up. And they'll ask for prayer, they'll ask for encouragement, they'll ask for wise counsel. And so every single person who is a believer should be an encourager. And then he who gives, that is those that have that gift of giving, and it doesn't have to mean that you have a lot of money, doesn't have to mean that you're a millionaire. If you just have a little bit, give it. If you have a little bit more, give a little bit more. And as you give, God will continue to bless you, and he will continue to pour on to you more and more. He can trust you with more and more. And so as you become a giver, the Lord loves those that give. The Lord loves those who give cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9:6, it says, "But I say this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he proposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." And so when I appeal for money for the Africa Crusade, I'm not going out and spending it on a Bentley or a Cadillac or a mountain home in the Rockies. I'm spending it for the children who are living on the streets in Kenya. I'm spending it for the children who have no home and no mother and no father. And so when you give, it's going to a good cause, and it's going to a cause that will bring glory and honor to the Lord God. And so God loves a cheerful giver. When you give to a great ministry, when you give to somebody who's using the money wisely and expanding the kingdom of God, God sees your heart. Do it cheerfully. Give with liberality. Give more than you think you're able to. And when you do that, God will bless you, and it will be given back into your own bosom. And then the who leads with diligence, God's looking for leaders, step forward and be a leader. Don't just be a follower, be a leader. And then he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Well, mercy triumphs judgment, James tells us. He says mercy triumphs over judgment. James 2:13, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And so if you have mercy in your heart and you show that to other people, God takes note of that and he will bless you accordingly for that. Well, that's a quick rundown of the gifts given to the local church. Again, you can read that for yourself, the first 8 verses in Romans 12. But I'd encourage you this day to get involved in the local church, to find out what your gifts are, to find out how you can minister to the outside world, and get started seeking your destiny, finding out what God has for you here on this earth, and use your body as a living sacrifice. Present yourself to the Lord God as a living sacrifice, and he will bless you beyond anything that you can think or imagine. Well, Gather the Outcast, again, is a listener-supported radio broadcast. It's a listener-supported ministry. It is supported by those in the church, those who love what God is doing, not only here in America through the radio broadcast and through preaching in prisons and in church revivals, but also what God is doing in Africa and in the four corners of the earth. And so we invite you to be a part of this ministry. We invite you to sit down, write out a check, and let us know you are listening. We like to hear from you. Let us know you want to pray for this ministry, pray for the Africa Mission, and let us know that you want to support this ministry. And we thank you from the bottom of our heart. We will use your money wisely, and we thank you for everything that you have done to support this ministry. Well, stay tuned for contact information. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.